like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 9, recorded on October 22nd, 2023. We are back after a 2-week hiatus. How are you doing, Pirate?
Yes, it feels great to be back, y'all. Welcome all listeners, new and old.
New and old. And a little quick show note here. Pirate updated his microphone, so let us know how he sounds. Like, from my end, I'm already hearing the difference. We're actually sounding somewhat professional now.
Yeah, we are on the Akebono Radio Network with new microphones.
Yeah, we got all kind of new equipment here. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get things kicked off. What do you got, Pirate?
Well, you took yourself a little adventure to Appalachia, and
yes, I did.
I'd like to hear about your adventure. I've seen some pictures, and you had some great videos and pictures, and I want to hear all about this trip. And
well, I am still editing as we speak. Even before you came over, I was on the computer over there editing a video, which is already about 40 minutes. And I still have to hold out a major section of it because it's just getting a little too long. And plus, the things I'm doing is a little different. Well, not different. It's a different part of the film, so it could be a part of it. It's a judgment call thing. But I'm not going to include in this. I'm going to make it it's my niece's birthday. I'm going to make that a whole separate video on itself. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the trip real quick, because that's basically what I got for today. And then the rest of the show is going to be with Pirate, and I will opine is the word as always. But yeah, so I took a week-long trip up to West by God, Virginia, and the first time flying at a St. Pete airport. And that was a little old school, because you walk across the tarmac.
Well, that's how they did it in them days, man.
Yeah, well, that was cool. I actually took a picture of my plane from the outside. You usually don't get to do kind of stuff like this. But I was wondering, well, what happens if it rains? Do they hold the flight back? Because there are no, you can't take an umbrella out there. You know, they'll get sucked up into the engines, or it can get blow across the runway or whatever.
Well, you know? I guess as long as you ain't got no bouffant hairdo or you're not butter, you're going to be fine, Chewy.
Yeah. So it was really nice to fly out of St. Pete, because in the past I usually had to drive up to Sanford, and that's only like a 2-hour drive. But the problem is coming back when you land, it's like, oh, now I got to get in the car for another 2 hours and run into Disney traffic, because there's no way getting around it. It is the same exact exit for Disney, except for Disney, of course, goes west and Sanford is out to the east. But so, yeah, it was nice going through that. TSA pre-check was still a godsend. If you guys travel, even if you don't travel that often, I only travel like 3 or 4 times a year as far as flying. TSA pre-check is so worth it, because I don't have to take off my shoes. I don't have to take the liquids out of the bags. I don't have to take my laptop out, my drone, none of that stuff. You just keep it all in. Yeah.
So how do you do a TSA pre-check?
Well, you go online. You go on the line to the World Wide Web. I can't give you the exact URL, but you do a pre-application, and then they screen you. And then if you get approved, you make an appointment to go to the airport, and then the interview takes all of 5 minutes. They fingerprint you, and they give you what's a known traveler number. They don't give you a card, which I thought was a little weird at first. I was like, but they give you what's called a known traveler number, and it's up to you to remember that. They send you an email with that same confirmation as well. What you do with that known traveler number is, when you book your flight, there's a section there, and now it says TSA pre-check or known traveler number, so your boarding pass will have TSA pre-check on it. So TSA will know who you are, and then sometimes they give you a special badge to put into your bin, so they know, oh, this person is okay. We don't have to do the liquids or anything like that.
So yeah, you got to qualify for this.
Yeah, yeah, you can't be a terrorist.
Yeah, of course. It's kind of like the weapons permit.
Yeah, or a white supremacist. You know, whatever terrorist organization that you are a part of, that won't work. But yeah, no, uneventful a flight, no big deal. But when I broke through the clouds, I was a little disappointed. Everything was still green up there. I was like, what happened to the fall change? But my cousin told me, yeah, because they had a dry summer. I was like, oh, kind of like we had down here in Florida. the trees didn't change as much. But to fast forwarding a little bit, last couple of days, it really started to change, and I got some good shots of it. So we went to my nephew's soccer game, little toddler soccer game, just hilarious. Looks like to me a bunch of unorganized midgets running around. Yeah,
just chase the ball.
That's pretty much what it was. It's chase the ball, kick the ball. No goaltenders. They don't keep score, which is the whole development league thing. But that was cool. But did a lot of walking there, because my cousin is a park ranger. He actually lives in a state park called Valley Falls State Park, and it's only a mile trip down to the falls, but it's like a 1500 foot elevation change. So going down, no problem. Coming back up, woo boy, because I clocked it. It's about a 22 minute walk down. Coming back up, it was close to 40 minutes because you're dealing with hills or actual mountains and everything like that. So a lot of walking was done in place. And then we went, we did a lot of new things on this trip, which was fun, and which I'll talk about here in a sec. We went to Audra Park, which is another state park in West Virginia. And it's a park I think my cousin helped out over the summer. And they have their own small version of the falls. But they had a nice hiking trail that goes through partial caves with a boardwalk and everything. So I'll show you all those pictures later. That was cool. Took the drone out there, of course, got shots of that. And then it was just a big day at the park. And then that night we got some local pizza. I don't remember the name of the place, but I was like, hey, you know me with pizza, I'll try a local pizza place. But the interesting thing is my cousin is a big chicken parm guy. He got a chicken parm pizza. Have you ever tried that before? Or even heard of that?
I've heard of this type of pizza. I'd be willing to try it because I'm a chicken parm fan.
You like chicken parm?
Yeah, I like chicken parm.
Yeah, my cousin's a big time chicken parm.
But I'd rather say chicken parmesan because you know how I am about abbreviations.
But you also have your own words for it. I'm surprised you didn't have something already when it came to that. But
yeah, it's not a word I use on a daily. But if I start using it more often, I'll get an abbreviation.
See, it always makes me think of that Bare Naked Ladies songs. You know, the chicken, the Chinese chicken.
I love that song.
It's been one day. sorry. We didn't know it was karaoke hour here on All Over the Road with Pirate Chewy. But yeah, and then the next day, my uncle came and picked me up, and we went to the New River Gorge Bridge.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, and I was texting you, and you said you'd been there before, and we drove over it. We went to the bottom of it, awesome. Saw the arch, got some pictures. Uncle and I were skipping rocks across the lake, which was, I haven't skipped rocks in a long time. It was kind of hard to find some flat rocks, but we got some skipping action going. And then he was like, all right, we got to go. I got your surprise. And I was like, you say, you figured it out yet? And I was like, I'm not a person that likes to figure out surprises. I like to go with it. Well, he got me a ride in a Cessna 172 through a private pilot that he knows. I don't know his last name, so we usually don't drop the names on his name, but his name was Gary. But I don't know his last name, so he'll stay safe and anonymous. But he does not give flight. So if you get a hold of Gary somehow, don't even ask him. But he's an American Airlines pilot. And he was just on medical leave for a while because he wasn't having any heart problems. But when they do these physical fitness test screenings, they're like, oh, there could be something wrong here. So he was on like a 3-month little break, still getting paid. But he flies A320s out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was like, boy, what's your commute to Charlotte? He goes, about 3.5-hour drive. I said, that's not too bad.
Oh, he drives.
Yeah. So he drives some. So he lives in West Virginia. Drives to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, it's not that far. I that's about how long it takes me, sometimes less.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Well, they're coming from Morgantown, but when I come through from Beckley
down
to Charlotte, it's like maybe 2 hours or less, you know?
Right, right.
It's not a long ride from there.
Yeah, so I was giddy as a kid in school, I guess. I was not expecting to go up for a flight in a Cessna, and the thing is like a Volkswagen with wings, man. It's very, very thin. You feel every little bump. And then don't get me wrong, the flight was beautiful, but you do feel every little bump and turbulence, even at 1,000 feet up. It's pretty amazing. But boy, we flew around the bridge. So I just got some great shots of that. And then we landed, and my uncle and aunt were going to go, but my aunt was like, nope, I am not getting in that thing. So
you didn't feel safe.
So my uncle was like, yeah, we'll get in the back then. And I was like, cool. So sitting in the back was actually better for taking pictures, because sitting up front, you are literally shoulder to shoulder with the pilot. And it was even more funny because my uncle's a big guy too. So I saw from the back seat how tight they were together, where I had pretty much, you know, it can fit up the four people, but having the back seat to myself, it was a lot better deal. And I think the windows were a little better in the back. But the one thing that cracked me up is that there was an ashtray in the back seat. So I asked Gary, I was like, is this smoking or non-smoking flight? He goes, oh, non-smoking. He says, that's just there for decorations. You know, and I was kidding. I wouldn't want to smoke in the plane anyways. That would be awful. You know, that would be really be awful. But yeah, we did that. And then went on to Somerville's Lake. I took the drone out there, shot. There's like these nice rock features out there. Really cool. And then we went to the Somerville's Dam, and this dam is not a hydroelectric dam at all. It's there just for flood control. So it was a more natural style dam. It was basically rock stopped, you know, man-made, but no forms of cement like the Hoover Dam. Everything's prefabbed and everything. No, they just kept building the thing up till they got to the height, I guess. And there are bypass valves if they do need to drain the lake and let the water go out. So it's just really there for flood control, but that was pretty cool. And then we stopped briefly through a town to see what was called the Flatwood Monster. And apparently these people saw an alien years ago and it didn't attack them, but they say it floated right over them. So that's their big claim to fame in this little town in West Virginia.
Oh,
so
I'm sure they got some aliens in West Virginia.
Oh yeah. I took a couple pictures of these places, gift shops and stuff like that. I was like, oh, of course. Yeah. Gift shop. You know,
Forget Bigfoot. They've seen him around there too.
My uncle is a big time Bigfoot fan. And, I know he's listening to this, so I won't pick on him, but, you know, I'm on the skeptical side of things, you know, and I
believe in Bigfoot.
You believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah, I think
Bigfoot's out there. My uncle would like to, he'd love to hear that. He loves talking Bigfoot. Uncle, like I said, I
love Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Keep on believing, man.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's not that I don't believe. I just, I'm on the skeptic side of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there was a sighting like about a week or two back out west. I think I reported on it.
Yeah, I saw that article on it. And I tell you, I would have stayed in the suit longer, but it got really hot. So
damn it, you. You are Chewbacca.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. That's what Chewbacca, I was just about to say that. That's what the character Chewbacca is based on. George Lucas basically took Bigfoot and turned him into a Star Wars character.
Yeah, how ingenious.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe that's why I like Chewbacca so much. But, yeah, so after the Flatwood Monster area, not a whole lot to see there because we didn't get out or anything. We just drove through this town real quick. We stopped by, have you heard of this place? The Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
No, this is the first time me hearing about this.
Okay, so it's a funny farm. It opened sometime up in the 1800s. And it shut down in 1993. So in retrospect, it's not that long ago. They have been known for abuse, experimentation, torture, I guess, which is abuse. And it's a famous ghost tour site now because they say that place is very, very haunted. The most lobotomies ever done. I mean, so there's a lot of trauma spiritual wise going in this place. And we just drove around it and it looks pretty shady. Like he did a ghost tour, him and his wife, my aunt, they did a ghost tour on it a year ago or so. And he's a skeptic when it comes to that. But he said a couple times there was some weird stuff going on in there. Like you felt the creepiness of it or whatever. The interesting part about this place is back in the day, if your wife was menstruating too long, you could take her there and get her institutionalized because you think she's bleeding too long. or you come home and the chicken is cold. Well, there's something wrong with her because she didn't have hot meal for her husband when he got home. And yeah. And no questions asked. They used to just take them in.
Yeah, they probably thought in those days, she's a witch. She's turning into some
or,
witch.
Or a witch. Or it was an excuse to divorce your wife. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
she got institutionalized. I'm divorcing her.
Yeah. I mean,
out of here, boys.
Talk about crazy, crazy times with that. I'm like, really? Because, I mean, I heard about the place several times, but to actually, like, drive by it, it looked like Freddy Krueger crap, man. It was weird. It really was to see that. I wish we had time. Maybe next time I'll do the ghost tour. I'd be down for that. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh yeah. I mean, take the video camera with you, see if you see anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was neat. And then the day after that was just hanging around the house. Actually, no, we're out in the morning. I shot drone at Rock Lake, which is very beautiful. And then we went to this mountain range called Seneca Rocks, and I'd been there before, but it's basically this top of the mountain where they believe the glaciers really carved out, and it almost has a flat rock face, even though it's at the peak of a mountain. And we didn't go up it, but shot the drone on it, hung out in the park a little bit. The kids loved it. Got some lunch. Tried my first West Virginia chili dog, which was the only difference is they add coleslaw to it, but it was still very good. And then I sent you the picture. I had a Bud Heavy, nice 24 ounce kind of Bud Heavy.
Big old white trash K Bud Heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell you what, even though the weather was nice and cool, by the way, it was always in the high 40s, low 50s, low to mid 50s. Perfect. I only wore jeans one day, wore a hoodie a couple times, but still wore shorts. Never got too cold for me. Well, all that walking around we did that day, drinking that Bud Heavy, I got a little tipsy, so it's a good thing my cousin was was driving. But, yeah, and then we got back to the house, and then we prepared the next day for my niece's birthday. She just turned 1 year old, so we did that at the park. Everybody showed up, had a good time. And then you'll like this. My uncle got two brand-new Ford Broncos, the Sport Edition.
Nice.
And I got to drive one. And he says it's a 3-cylinder. Maybe the year's off a little bit because he bought it new used. I think he said he's got like a 2019, 2020. But what I looked up is that the current one now, it's a 4-banger twin turbo, or they have a V6 twin turbo, but they don't come in V8 at all.
Yeah, I've seen where they all have turbos.
Yeah, Ford's pretty much getting rid of their V8s unless it's in the Mustang or the big full-size trucks. But so I took it for a good 20, 25, 30 minute drive. I just thought it'd be a quick 10 minute drive, but we went all around the winding roads and everything. And I was like, when do you want me to turn around? He's like, just keep going. Nice driving truck, man. I'm gonna have to put that on my list of potential future trucks here when I get rid of the Taurus, you know.
That's what them vehicles are built for, you know, being out on some roads and, you know, for sport, you know.
And it's Ford. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you can't go wrong with the quality that they build, even with the newer stuff. I mean,
for a 4-banger twin turbo, it had decent pickup. I mean, I'm not going to tell you it was awesome, but, you know, it's adequate enough if you needed to get some zipping and do some zipping around. Yeah. No.
Oh, nope. Yeah. And they have got smoother riding suspensions than the old school Broncos.
Yeah. 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 So we're getting here towards the end of the trip here. So again, more walking. I did a lot of hiking that week, a lot of walking either down to the Rock Lake or down to the falls, or when we went to all these parks. So I met a nice lady, just a quick conversation from Indiana, professional photographer. And she was like, are you from around here? I was like, no, actually I'm from Florida. This is my cousin's park. He's a park ranger here. And, I was like, you ever been here before? She goes, no, this is great. You know, and it didn't really get into, you know, what she was doing there, but she had all these big cameras on her and just by herself, little lady too, probably in her late 30s, kind of cute, you know, but it was struck up a conversation. But I was like, nope. I was like, well, nice talking to you. I got a head up. So I walked back up, and I guess from the previous day's beer drinking at the niece's birthday, it kind of caught up to me because I struggled to get back up the mountain. It took a little longer to get up there. I was like, "Woo, boy, I am out of breath." But yeah, pretty much towards the end of the trip, the last day, my cousin and I went to the Varsity Club. It's a restaurant that is right by the stadium in Morgantown. One of my favorite places. Haven't been in a while. They have your glass. You don't like the goblet,
the goblets.
But it keeps it nice and cold. But I tell you what though, Pirate, going on a non game day was perfect. The place was dead. And that was the plan, because on game day, it's not that big of a place. Good luck finding a seat.
Wall to wall.
Yeah. And they're a bar and grill. They remind me of like a Beef O'Brady's or anything, but they've got their own food. It's a private place. The owner was a former, WV football player himself, I think back in the 90s sometimes, but he actually gave me a goblet years ago. I wish he was there, but he wasn't. But it was nice to actually walk in there and not have to wait 30, 40 minutes for you. And the thing is, you can't even really park there. I mean, he's only got like 8 or 9 parking spots. So, you know, but it is a shrine to WV. everything, every wall, nice yellow walls. He's got two bars, a center bar, a bar in the back, and every part of the wall is just covered with WB memorabilia, man. It's like a shrine. I'm like, man, this place is cool. Plus, it was weird to see the stadium with nobody there, the football stadium. I was like, man, this is because we drove around the stadium. I'm like, this is weird being here on non-game day. I'm usually here for a game because that week they were away. So we watched it at the house. But nice flight back, man. Got some great shots coming into St. Pete with the horizon and everything, with the sun going down. And then when I got off the plane, because St. Pete's like Clarksburg, you know, you walk outside, I was surprised to see that the weather was in the 60s when I got back Monday night. I'm sure you like it working in landscape. You're like, I ain't complaining about this.
Oh, no. Fall has arrived in the South, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, but big shout out to my uncle for the plane ride, to my cousin for letting me crash at his house and just seeing everything. I mean, just what a beautiful state, man. I mean, you know, if I'm going to leave Florida, that's where I'm going. Not that I'm going to, but it's a possibility one day. You know, you never know.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state for sure. Been there many times myself, spent some time there and done a lot of trips since I was a youth.
A Utes. Yeah.
And been there for all types of different trips. Had some family that lived there at some certain times. And I also live close to that Ohio River border. So I'm familiar with the whole area. Great state. There's a lot of activities you can do there, whether it's...
Plus, you said you went over that bridge last time you went up there, the New River Gorge Bridge.
We actually stopped at like a little scenic view area.
Yeah, it's a national park. You know, they got a little thing in there.
Yeah, you know? we stopped there. I brought the kids through there, and I've got pictures from the last trip and the trip before that we took pictures of, you know, down in the gorge.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole mountainside, the bridge itself.
Yeah.
That bridge is a newer bridge.
Yeah, it was built in the 70s. It was a pretty crazy feat of engineering because they said at a speed limit, 70 miles an hour, it literally takes a minute to get across it. And when we went into the museum area at the park, they said back in the day, it was a 45-minute diverging trip to get around the gorge and get back up the mountain. So it was going down one side, crossing the river, and then going back up. And he said that used to take 45 minutes. You know, I was like, wow. And that's in a car.
Yeah.
You know, so God knows back in the day when you were using horseback or walking, how long that would have taken to get across the gorge. So, yeah, they had a little video in there how they designed it, how they engineered it. It's pretty amazing. And they have Bridge Week, which I just missed, where base jumpers are allowed to jump off the bridge and parachute down by the river. Not me. I ain't doing that. But another time I think I'd like to do, you can walk across a catwalk with cabling underneath the bridge. I think I'd like to try that next time I go up there.
Wow.
Yeah. Can't be afraid of heights.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, well, that's why my aunt wouldn't get in that plane, because you truly feel like you're flying in that thing. I mean, you know, the thing about airlines is, yeah, you hit some turbulence in here and there, but people don't realize that for the most part, airline flights are smooth. This one was a little bumpy. If you got a sensitive stomach, that ain't going to work.
Well, it sounds like you had a good adventure there in West Virginia and great time with your family and friends up there, and got to see some cool stuff and nature.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of nature
up there. A lot of nature. A lot of relaxing. A lot of chewy hippie mode up there.
Oh, that's the chewy hippie mode. You flip the hippie mode switch on.
Yep. Yeah. And then didn't even do any of the illegal substances either.
I couldn't,
so that's fine.
Just the wheat and barley and ale, huh?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of local breweries, big timber ale, pine brewery ale, all these local breweries that we didn't go to. We did try to go to one brewery, but the tap room wasn't open. But all the local stores carry it, so a lot of local beer drinking at the park too. A couple times got a little tipsy here and there, but I'm having a good time, you know, because I was still around the kids, around the toddlers, the baby. I didn't want to act like you know crazy Chewbacca and cussing and being an idiot or anything like that. So I kept it PG, even though I was drinking a little bit.
That's all right. You got to unwind sometimes. That's what you go on vacation for.
That's what vacation is for. Yeah. So, yeah, what a great trip, and look forward to going back there again.
Well, I've got a story for a Florida story. It is about the Florida road crew that unearthed a shipwreck here from the 1800s in St. Augustine area.
Not surprising.
Mm-hmm. And the reason is they were doing some highway construction. That is the Bridge of Lions. It's one of the bridges that goes over from the mainland to the little inlet there. Mm-hmm. And so they, this was like a little bit earlier here in September. They were digging down with excavators about 8 to 10 feet. And they started excavating a hull of a boat. And it was well preserved, very well preserved, they said.
I'm sure with the moisture and everything, with the way the ground is with Florida, you know, it will do that. It'll preserve it instead of eat it apart. You think it would rot it away, but the mud and everything kind of keeps things together.
Well, 8 to 10 feet, too. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very deep. So, and they so the first thing that started to happen that really caught their eyes was they found a well-preserved leather boot.
Oh.
Like a work boot.
Oh, nice. What size?
I think it was yours, Chewy.
Yeah, you're going to do the one boot guy.
There you go. It could have been Peg Leg Joe, you know. You know, they only found one boot, so he still got his peg leg on. But this is definitely a pirate story, y'all. It's truly an incredible find. And they believe that this vessel was sunk and silted in over time. So, you know, maybe back in the late 1800s, St. Augustine wasn't as populated. So maybe no one's seen this.
I mean, it was a port, but the thing about these shipwrecks is that I discovered this recently in Florida. They are all over the coast.
They are
up and down. And I mean,
they're just finally getting discovered. A lot of them.
Sometimes with erosion or, like you said, a construction crew unearths them. Like, there was no records of a lot of these ships or where they went down at.
No, no. So what happened is FDOT, which is the Florida DOT, they paused the construction temporarily, and they got in touch with some state archaeologists and some university archaeologists, mm-hmm. and they excavated the vessel piece by piece by piece. And during the excavation, more shoes were found.
Mm.
And they were well-preserved. And also,
did you find any skeletons or anything?
Well, something better. We found coins dated 1869.
Oh, who gets to claim that?
Well, this is what's happening. There was also coconut halves. So those were maybe used as cups. And there was also a oil-fired lantern.
Neat.
That's pretty amazing. You know, they probably held it while they're like back in the old days.
All's well. go swab the deck.
Yeah. Mm. So they were, you know, communicating with the city of St. Augustine, and they're trying to talk about finding a permanent home for this unique find. So
Maybe there's a museum nearby that will take it in.
It definitely.
I just want to know who gets to keep the coins.
Well, I think all that goes to the city, you know, being that it's a historical find.
Well, you know what they pull is that you didn't have a you didn't have a salvage license, so you don't get to keep that. So then the government gets to claim, well, it's in our jurisdiction, so we're going to keep that.
Well, if they're gold, man, can you imagine?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's not even because the price gold right now is what it's worth. It's the fact that it's so old.
Sure, it's definitely all a unique find, and we'll keep posted on that situation. If we hear anything else, we'll update you.
Like anything, yeah. There's always stories that we know that we will probably come back to later on because there's more to the story. Yeah, you know,
yes.
It just hasn't transactioned yet. It just hasn't taken place. But we know that there's going to be follow-ups to this story. Yeah,
absolutely, Chewy.
Yep.
Well, and I have another story here.
In the same line, right?
No, this is a different line.
My
stories are all over the road today, folks. So be prepared for a wide variety of situations here of your listening pleasure.
Okay.
So, you like Panda Express? You're Chang Wong, right?
Yeah. Crazy enough, I don't eat it that often. I usually prefer the mom and pop places because Panda Express is a little too American corporate for me. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But I don't sit around and like, oh man, I'm really in a mood for Panda Express today. You know, yeah, let's go to Panda Express. Yeah,
it's more like Chipotle is.
Or, yeah, I mean, if we are out and about and, you know, and your wife says, hey, Chewy, you want to get Panda Express? I was like, okay, let's go. You know, but I would never be like, ooh, there's a Panda Express. Can we stop?
No. Nah. Not me either.
Nah.
Anyway, so, I mean, they got okay food. They're fast food chain.
Yeah, they're fast food chain. Yeah. Exactly.
So, anyways, they started to introduce their first ever dessert menu item for celebration of their 40th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
They are now offering an apple pie egg roll.
Well, that sounds freaking delicious.
Sure. Made with cubed apple slices with cinnamon sugar and other pie spices.
Wow.
Yeah. Sounds neat. Delicious.
Yeah. That does. And when's this going to be available?
They're starting to offer it in certain restaurants here coming up to their 40th anniversary. So it's going to start soon.
Very, very cool.
There was no release date, but maybe we'll look on their website, see if they got it on there.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe it's a reason to go now since I usually don't pick the place. But,
sure.
You know, why not?
They got the Kung Pao there.
Get some Kung Pao. Yeah. No, that sounds good. An egg roll apple pie.
Yeah.
Neat.
Sure.
Sounds
well, maybe
cool.
We'll try. We'll order some.
Yeah.
Bring them into the Pirate and Chewy radio studios here and try them out on air one day.
We can try them out in real time. Give you we haven't cheated. We haven't tried this before. We're even though this is on air and an audio radio show, podcast, whatever you want to call it, it's like in real time. Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. Oh man, that's pretty good. You know.
Yeah. Make a note. We'll put that on a future story, Chewy.
Yeah. There we go.
Well, I got some back information on Panda Express, just in case anybody wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, they were founded in 1983.
Interesting, because I didn't know about them until about the 90s.
Well, you know, Florida was not very populated, and Florida was still in the dark ages. For many, many years. I mean, it wasn't until the 90s that Florida, you know, was even becoming enlightened.
Right.
I remember.
Yeah. Well, the businesses follow the people, too. And we are getting to be a populated state. So we pretty much got everything now.
Oh, yeah. People move down here. Hey, I want White Castle. Hey, I want Fat Burger. Hey,
they opened up their first White Castle about a year ago in Orlando.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very popular. Still have never tried that, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I've never had that or a Crystal Burger.
Oh, they're a treat.
I hear they are. I hear if you're going to have a good cheat day, nutrition is out the window. So you go to White Castle.
And their slogan should be, you just can't have one.
Yeah, well, you know, seeing the Harold and Kumar movies, it gave me an idea. I mean, because they ordered like 30 cheeseburgers a piece or something like that. It's like, how the heck are you going to eat all that?
Oh, they're this easy.
Yeah, well, I know they're tiny, right? You just keep shoving them in your mouth.
Exactly. So, Andrew and Peggy Cherng, Cherng, are the founders.
Okay.
And they are one of the largest Asian restaurant chain in the U.S. $3 billion in annual revenue.
Wow.
Yes. And also the reason behind some of this menu items being added to the dessert is because other restaurants have already offered as well these desserts.
Okay.
So P.F. Chang, you know them, right?
Oh, yeah. They're the Asian fusion place. Yeah.
Yeah, the one with the big horse sitting out front, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why they have that horse there, but it's there.
Genghis Khan or something? I don't know.
Ching Wong Chong.
Ching Chong.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
So the Great Wall of Chocolate was invented there.
Mm. Okay.
That sounds good. I don't know what it is, but I have to
check. I'm just glad no one's picked that while in our union meeting. It's a little out of orthodox for us. I feel weird going there with the way we act and
the
way we dress. Not that you're supposed to dress up there, but you know, we're t-shirts and shorts kind of people, I don't know. I feel weird going there.
Absolutely. Also, they have a crispy marshmallow bar, which I don't know why they listed that, but that's what they specialize. And then there's this restaurant called Pei Wei. Yeah. Pei Wei. It's another Ching restaurant. They have a fudge brownie and then they have Thai donuts.
Oh, wow.
And then there's one other restaurant called the Mancho Walk. Mancho Walk.
Mancho Walk. Oh, you want the Mancho Walk.
You want the Mancho Walk?
Yeah.
Oh, then I make a deep fried cheesecake for you. So that's it for the little Ching Wong food update. Welcome back to the Pirate and Chewy podcast.
Yes, welcome back, folks.
And on this day, on October 22nd, the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962
began. Really? Today?
Yes, sir.
As of recording this show.
That's big history, man.
That is big time history.
Big history. It had a lot to do with the 13 days of confrontation between U.S. and Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
There was John F. Kennedy, a lot of naval ships and
he did a naval blockade.
Naval blockade.
They gave all kind of strategies. Do we take out the missiles or like, no, that'll provoke a counterattack. Sure. Do we send in a ground crew to take them out?
Yeah.
Ops. No, they went with the naval blockade. Basically nothing's getting in, nothing's getting out anymore.
And that was the whole idea, to kind of break down any type of logistics of, you know, any food, equipment, anything getting in there to the Soviet Union or the Cubans.
And it was the more peaceful approach. No shots were fired, at least that we know of.
And Florida had a lot to do with it, because a lot of it was staged.
In the Keys. Big time. Keys became pretty much just a military operation down there.
And I'm sure Mac Dill had a little bit to do with it as well.
Big time.
And a lot of it started in 1961 when the U.S. put missiles in Italy and Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't blame the Russians for doing that. We put missiles in their backyard. Guess what they are going to do?
That's what the whole idea was. They were just ticked off and tweaked, like, how dare them do that? We'll get in their backyard and play too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they teamed up with Fidel.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Good old Fidel.
The cigar guy.
Yep. He had a big old long cigar.
Yeah.
And so we also trained some Cuban exiles to try to overthrow the government in Cuba. But unsuccessfully, we didn't really do much.
Never seemed to work out, because the Castros are still in charge. They have a new prime minister right now, but he's just more of a figurehead. Raul Castro is in his 90s.
Sure.
Still the main dictator there.
They're still listening to him. And
he's still dictating.
Dictating, yeah. Dictating.
Yes.
So, the Soviets had done their thing, and then eventually there was a stand down, and of course.
Yeah, there was a good movie about that. I forgot the name. I think it was called 13 Days.
Yes,
it was a really good movie.
There was a few movies. I looked and researched. I didn't list them, but there was a handful of them made.
Like they got the help with the military to do some actual flying of some of the older jets that they still had in their inventory that they used for, you know, the surveillance, because they flew a aircraft very low with cameras on it to get a bunch of pictures of it to verify where these missile sites were at and everything.
If I'm not mistaken, they used the U-2.
I think they use the U-2, and I know they use the A-7 Corsair, which was a single engine plane with a big intake below the cockpit, but it had these huge, don't quote me the number, but way bigger than 35 millimeter, like yay big,
massive,
you know, IMAX size, probably 78 massive, millimeter.
Massive lenses.
Yeah, but massive lenses and massive film, because the bigger the film, the more the accuracy of the picture you're going to get out of it.
Oh, it's tea time.
Yeah, Big Bend is on
right
now.
It's tea time, eh?
Hopefully y'all don't hear that, but that's okay.
So another gigantic history item here today.
Oh, we got another one in today in history. Okay.
This one is actually for tomorrow's date, October 23rd.
Yeah, there's no harm in that.
1983, Beirut, Lebanon.
Yeah, I kind of know about that, because a lot of Marines lost their lives that day.
So the U.S. and French troops were attacked in Beirut in 1983 on October 23rd.
At the barracks.
18 U.S. Navy sailors, 220 Marines, three U.S. Army soldiers.
Wow.
And the barracks were installed there as a peacekeeping force with U.S., France, and Italy. They were there for many years, and then after this terrorist attack, the peacekeeping forces were then removed as a result of this, all these lives, and they figured, well,
Did we ever attack them back or do anything, or is just we pulled out?
Well, Reagan condemned it, and I guess Reagan went in there and cleaned up, and then he pulled out. There was no major attack or anything. No,
okay.
I think he says, look, we were there to keep peace. Let's not create another war, you know.
Well, then he kind of told him, you're on your own now.
You're on your own.
Because, you know, even though it was our military members there, there are different missions. People think our military is just there to destroy. No, they can do a lot of humanitarian missions as well. That's what the Mew out in the Mediterranean right now is getting ready to do. The Marines with the Israeli-Palestine conflict, that they're going to do a humanitarian thing, not attack.
Sure.
You know, so
there's a lot of that going down right now.
Yeah. So that's tomorrow. That's a
massive day right there, man. Yeah. I remember that as a maybe 11, 12, 13 year. I don't remember how old I was really. I'd have to do the math, but I remember that. And I remember seeing it on like NBC, ABC, and like Walter Cronkite or somebody talking about it. Mm-hmm. And everybody was really concerned, you know. Yeah. I mean, that was like the biggest thing that happened in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember we would get these like Scholastic newspapers.
Yeah, I remember Scholastic.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah. They're always in the schools and stuff.
School, yeah, and our teacher made us read it and then do a report on it. So I wrote about it and, you know, wrote that they were there for the, you know, the Israeli, they had a peace treaty, and that's why we were there to kind of keep the peace. I guess they did patrols and all that. And
yeah, there's actually outside Camp Lejeune, which is in Jacksonville, North Carolina. There's a big Beirut memorial out there that I've visited, and I just came across it. I wasn't even looking for it. We were out doing some work or something, and there it was. And, you know, I took the time to look at all the names, at least glance over it, and then read the plaque about what happened, because crazy enough, as much as history as the Marines love teaching about, that was never mentioned in boot camp. And, you know, I would have thought with us going to the base, you know, they would have mentioned it, but either way, I came across it and learned the history of it on my own, which is kind of cool. Sad, but, you know, cool.
Well, side note real quick before I move on to the next This Day in History date.
Oh, you got another one.
Yeah, but side note on this Beirut, the U.S. Marines website. So if you get on Google and search this Beirut terrorist Lebanon, you will see a Marines website that has several videos with tributes, and there's got to be like 6 or 8 different Marine videos. It's a U.S. Marine website.
Okay.
So check it out. I know you'll like it.
Oh, yeah. I'm intrigued.
I checked it out. I liked it. You should check it out as well. And anybody that's listening.
Right.
Check it out. It's definitely something we should remember.
Oh, yeah. So you got another day in history?
Yeah. So this story here on this day, October 22nd, 1934, long way back, Charles Arthur Floyd, otherwise known as Pretty Boy Floyd. He was killed this day in East Liverpool, Ohio.
He sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I have some family that supposedly some of the stories are kind of vague, but knew Pretty Boy Floyd.
Really?
So, yeah. So anyways, they did business with them. Long story short, this guy, East Liverpool, Ohio is close to the Ohio River, more towards like close to that little piece of West Virginia and Pennsylvania. It's close to that area down that way.
Near Harper's Ferry, the Shenandoah River, and all where it converges. Yep.
Yeah, where it converges.
Yep, yeah, I know that area a little bit. Yep.
Yeah, from that area, you can make a straight shot across to Philadelphia, New York. It was like a little pathway you could cut across. It was just a traveling area.
Yeah.
They were traveling through there, and of course he got he was shot by 4 bullets from a local sheriff in a shootout.
Wow.
So a little backstory on him. He was a notorious bank robber and gangster. So at the time of his death, he was 30 years old.
Now, this was in the 30s. Was Prohibition still around then, or was it just
34 was right after Prohibition.
Okay, so because the thing with Prohibition, a lot of organized crime came out of it. So it sounds like maybe that was his genesis of why he's into what he was doing, because he made a lot of money off of bootlegging or
Yeah, you there know, was.
I'm suspecting that.
Yeah, so my family was involved in some of that bootlegging prohibition. Whose family wasn't back in those days?
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, I can't claim it for myself, but I wouldn't be surprised if I found out later on. You know, you're, hey, you're doing what you had to do because the government said we're going to get rid of alcohol, which was what a great idea, right?
Yeah,
you know,
what a great stupid idea. To anyways, agree
I'm,
to that.
Yeah, I'm tangenting off. Yeah.
But the whole thing is yes, you're during the Prohibition era, gangsters really profited because they could find an angle where they're going to make a cut off of the illegal alcohol being made and sold and distributed. There was always a middleman, a buyer, a seller, a manufacturer. Somebody had their cut, the deal.
Right.
So this guy was involved in a lot of transactions. And of course, probably right after Prohibition, there was no more cuts in the deals because liquor was legal. So the only probably gangster activity that was going on was a lot of bank robberies. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is what this guy started doing a lot of in the year 1934, which began the demise of his life. You know, he was first arrested at age 18 for stealing $3.50 from a local post office.
Major crime, but I know back then that was worth a lot more. But
About $50 to today's standards.
Okay. Let's say that's not small change.
No. And 3 years later, he was arrested for payroll robbery.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, Missouri.
That's okay. That happens.
After his parole, he was released from prison and he entered into partnerships. That's when he started becoming a gangster with local criminals where they had plans and he committed many series of robberies and murders. And other crimes of the like, you know, of the like, what that means. Just anything and anything that they can make money off of that's illegal.
The easy way, right?
The easy way. And he was given his nickname. The reason his name is Pretty Boy Floyd is because he would usually wear a white button-up dress shirt, little bow tie and slacks. You know, he looked like a gangster would dress, you know?
But he dressed well.
Oh, yeah.
That's why.
He wasn't no slob.
I'm sure he groomed, like kept his face shaven, hair greased back, whatever they, you know.
He had it greased back. He had a good looking face. I mean, he looked like a good looking character at one time.
Now, I missed the beginning of the thing. He said, this day in history, what happened to him back in 1930?
This is when he was shot by the sheriffs in East Liverpool, Ohio. He was the most wanted, notorious criminal of that time.
They probably didn't even want to take him into custody. They probably just wanted to get rid of him.
There were claims. There was a lot of stuff in the article I was reading, claims that one of the sheriffs may have shot him point blank, but he says, oh, no, I shot him far away.
An execution style.
Yeah, who knows? You know, there were four bullets.
And that's why they said dead man don't tell tales.
They don't.
You know.
And they said some of his last words, they wanted to know. If he had murdered some, the reason they were so pissed off at him is because there was a St. Louis massacre, mm-hmm. or a Kansas City massacre. And the my correction there, the Kansas City massacre was blamed on him, and there were a lot of federal agents, not a lot, but few of them, shot and killed in this incident. And Pretty Boy Floyd, he denounced it, said, it wasn't me. I would have never done that. It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it. He even wrote a letter to the agents and sent it to him, said it was not me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they the agents continued to pursue him to get the truth out of him. When, before he got shot with the last bullet, they asked him, did you do it? And he said he didn't. So, a time he was arrested in Toledo, Ohio, OH-10.
Yeah, I know that town a little too well.
Mm-hmm. And he was caught there. And it was a bank robbery, and he was sentenced to the Ohio State Pen. And, of course, he escaped in a prison break. And, you know, he also hung out with a gang of guys, so, you know, they helped him.
Oh, yeah, they had each other's backs.
Yeah, he had a lot of guys that he hung with. And
they had bro rules.
Oh, yeah, they had plenty of rules. And he jumped on a moving train, and, you know, of course, he escaped. And then, you know, for many, many years, committed these bank robberies. And, of course, you know, the reason he was in East Liverpool, he was driving back to probably New York or Buffalo, where he was operating at the time. And of course, they were traveling with two ladies at the time and another guy. They had wrecked their car and hit a pole in a ditch because it was probably slippery a little bit this time of year, October, maybe some rain or ice or something. And of course, they were stuck out there in the woods for a while. And that's when the sheriff noticed them on the side of the road.
Oh, so it was just a regular patrol. And then it was like, whoa, look what we got here.
Yeah, they called in more sheriffs and they went and...
So it was a standoff.
It was, he had a .45 caliber. He was shooting back. He actually shot a couple of the guys. They wounded a couple of the guys.
So a standoff turned into a shootout that turned into another standoff.
Yes, it was a big-time shootout.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. The article didn't say what happened to the two ladies or the other gangster member, but of course... The fact that they killed him, that was the main guy they needed.
Now, was there any ever movies made about this guy?
You know, I think there was, but they had to have been pretty old.
Yeah. I'd almost be interested to see something like this, though. I'm intrigued, you know, because that's part of America, man. We seem to like mobster and gangster stories. You know, I mean, look at The Godfather and Goodfellas and Casino and all these other mob-based movies that have been out there. You know, even Al Pacino with Scarface, even though he was Cuban guy, he created a mafia in Miami.
I love Scarface.
Created an empire.
I loved Scarface movies.
Yeah.
Look at My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, more of a comedy. I know what you mean. No, that's pretty funny. Yeah. Well, he talked like a gangster, right?
Utes.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, the Utes. Excuse me, Mr. Folly, what'd you say? Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor, the two U's.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
That'll meow. Be annoying. I haven't programmed that into one of the pads yet.
Yeah, we need that. We need to get a meow. So the family vacation was interrupted here of Janet and Paul Atkinson. So they went on a 300-mile trip. They are from England over there, Horncastle.
Jolly England.
Oh, yeah. Jolly mates here. And we're going to go to Devon, England.
Sorry, our terrible, terrible English accent.
Terrible,
sorry,
man.
Yeah, I mean, but we need our mate over here to correct us.
I know. We need to get him over here one day just for a whole show on England.
Yeah. Can talk about his Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, figgy pudding, too, as well. Can't have any meat if you, or can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat.
Yeah, now we're going to Pink Floyd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the family vacation of these folks here was interrupted when the neighbor's cat secretly joined them for this 300-mile road trip that they were going to.
Oh, so they weren't planning on taking a cat.
No, they had, I guess they had the vehicle in the front yard. You know, they probably had a little Mini Cooper or something. They were, had the hatchback up and they probably were putting, you know, Janet, I'm putting the luggage in. Yeah. Okay, my love. And, you know, he's putting it in there and maybe little cat meow jumps in there. You know how cats are. You've got them.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they got in and they started driving down the road. And that's when, the cot named Bonnie appeared.
Bonnie,
B-O-N-N-I.
Oh, Bonnie, like my Bonnie lies over the ocean.
Yeah, Bonnie, kind of thing.
Okay.
Bonnie appeared
in
the back seat. And so they stopped and they said, what is this cat doing here? We're miles and miles and miles from home.
We don't have cat litter. They probably don't have food.
They were concerned. And then they recognized the cat. They noticed the wife, Janet, said, that looks like the cat named Bonnie, who the owner is our neighbor, Stephanie.
Oh, so this wasn't their cat.
No, they said, I'll be damned. This is Stephanie's cat from up the street. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're just driving along, and here's this cat. But you recognize a cat, but it's also not your cat.
Not their cat. It was a black and white, you know, probably calico or whatever they call them.
They call those tuxedo cats.
Tuxedo cats. Yeah, look, I had one of them once. They're real cool-looking cats.
Yes, they are.
And, yeah, so they continued on until they got to the next town, and they looked up a local shelter, and so they went to this place called Animals in Distress, and they assisted very much in the for the emergency and the care of Bonnie,
mm-hmm.
And so on the way back from the trip,
course, they were able to take Bonnie home after they were done with their vacation.
Pick her up, and they said that she had been cared for well, or he had been cared for well. He had been bathed, fed well. You know, they combed him, took care of him, and he had plenty of rest. And
so he had a spa day.
He had a wonderful spa day in jolly old England. And Bonnie's owner says that the cat had a lovely vacation. And the cat has settled back in her home. And
over there, they like to call it holiday.
Holiday as well.
Yeah, they don't say vacation. They say holiday.
At this time, she said vacation. But yeah, it's holiday.
Yes.
And he settled in there in Horn Castle.
You got to wonder if this was an outdoor cat, or because a lot of people do that. A lot of people keep their cats outdoors, and maybe the spa day helped. I mean, my cats never need that because they go as far as the back porch. But at least they took care of the cat, even though it wasn't their cat. They recognized, look, we can't take this thing with us. But basically, it sounded like their neighbors were going to owe them some money for spa day because boarding them is not cheap. And it's like, well, guess what? Your cat ended up in my car.
You know? Yeah, I mean, what do? Are you supposed to be responsible for a cat outdoors? I mean, cats aren't.
I would still ask. You know, I would still ask if they don't pay up. That shows you the level of their. I don't know if the integrity is the right word or their honor. You know, that it's like, hey, you know, I know you didn't plan this, but we just put out a lot of money for your cat here. We'd like you to settle this and see where that goes. You know,
I know that. Janet and her husband had done this out of their hearts, the love of their hearts.
Oh, well, yeah.
Take care of this cat named Bonnie. And I know that probably Stephanie probably wasn't irresponsible at all. It's just that a lot of times I've had cats, and you have some. I've had cats that would leave outside and play, and then in the evening they come back.
They'd come back home. Yeah.
And yep.
That's quite normal.
And I would see these cats, you know, in the backyard of other people's yards, or, you know, climbing on a roof, or they'd run across the street. I don't know where they're at when they're out in their little venture. So,
yeah.
So, you know, I don't think I'm irresponsible. That's just what cats do. Now, dogs, on the other hand, that's a different story. You're not going to let a dog wander the whole neighborhood, of course.
Well, they crap on people's yards, and that's not cool. A cat is a little more subtle about it. You know, a dog, oh, I gotta go, I'm going right here,
go wherever. And I would hope that Stephanie, the neighbor, has a little bit of common decency to say, hey, I appreciate what you did to my cat, took care of her. And
yeah,
could have just easily opened the door up and said, shoo, cat, shoo.
Yo, get out of here, little priss. Very neat. Good thing to hear about
the cat story.
You hear about Bonnie the cat.
The cat. Meow, meow, meow.
All right.
Bud Weiss. Got another Bud Light story, y'all.
Oh, God. What do they do now, man?
Oh, man. These guys here. Now they're trying to save face.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's saving any face, because when I think of Bud Light, I think of Dylan Mulvaney. He's a good-looking man.
Well, apparently they've moved on and got a different marketing person here.
Yeah, well, they fired that other lady, that basically activist, saying I was trying to get out of the frat boy thing. And I was like, why?
So they got a new marketing agent, I guess.
Well, of course.
So they're going down a different channel here, a different road. And so it was announced on Tuesday that it will commit over $3 million in academic scholarships for the rest of this year.
Ah, kiss that butt to the college people that you slammed on.
Yeah. Of the fallen or displaced or disabled first responders.
Okay, that's noble.
That's very noble.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. We got one here. We got something. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Nice applause there. One of our few sounds here. I'll work on this, by the way, because yeah. I know you want the Howard Dean, and I found it. It's just a matter of me it's learning how to program this.
We're going to use that soon.
I mean, I could do it right now, though.
And, you know, we're going to need a meow, and I think we're going to need a train horn.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to need a orf, orf, orf.
A little barking. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And I think also, too, we could even get an Ozzy Osbourne. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Or just some off the wall comment he says.
Yeah, we can do an Ozzy Osbourne one too.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me go further into this story. So the Anheuser-Busch, their ongoing relationship with the Folds of Honor has been going on for so many years. So they partnered up with the NFL.
Mm-hmm. That's one of their big time charity, not theirs, but it's a big charity organization with Folds of Honor.
Yeah. And so the NFL said they're also going to honor Bud Light's contributions and support alongside of Bud Light. And so NFL are going to team up and they are going to, the NFL will have some local team activations and some in-game scholarship presentations and other content during the 2023 NFL season.
So this actually sounds like a good move for Bud Light.
Yeah, they are saving face. If they do this, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Through the partnership of Anheuser-Busch Brands, they've already donated so far $21.7 million to the organization.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yes.
A lot of cash.
And that's contributed to 51,000 in scholarships. Folds of Honor CEO Dan Rooney.
Ed Rooney. Yeah.
He expressed that they're looking forward to Anheuser-Busch NFL's partnership and generous scholarship commitment. And they are looking to make a significant impact on the lives of the first responders and the families through their support.
Well, it sounds like they're doing the right thing because, the Dylan Mulvaney thing is still sore amongst a lot of people. And, there are rumors that Colin Kaepernick was going to, which since has been debunked. But, that's a good thing. And hopefully that one brother of the Bush family can still buy out the entire brand from InBev, because apparently InBev has already sold off a lot of microbrews and stuff that they had under their umbrella. They're just trying to get, cash for what they've owned before that they deemed, we don't need these breweries anymore. And a lot of them are going back to self-running, self-sustaining. So,
And not to mention they lost a lot of revenue with their stunt that they pulled with the marketing.
Well, and they continue to be hurt from that. They are. I read some story the other day about how they're basically given the distributors money to make up for some of the loss, because the distributors got affected by this as well. And I notice a lot of places, man, I see a lot of Bud Light sitting in the cooler not being used. And I know you're not much of a tap guy, but you got to wonder, even with the kegs, I mean, how much is it really getting used? I know a lot of people don't. And that's the thing with me. I'll drink a regular Bud. I was never a Bud Light guy anyway. So the whole thing was just silly to me on both ends. But at the same time, I'm like, well, it don't affect me. I don't drink Bud Light. I mean, I have the lime now and then, but there's alternatives out there, which is easy to do. So,
yeah. I mean, it's, I don't wish nothing bad to that company, but they should at least go in a better direction again.
And this Folds of Honor thing sounds like it. That's pretty good.
Pretty noble of them. And and I do pray that one of the Bush brothers gets in control again.
It'd be awesome.
That would be great. I would probably buy some Bud Light here and there.
Yeah, bring back Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, and I hope they.
That's the first thing they should do if they bring it back. Bring back Spuds McKenzie, man. Sure. That was a great marketing campaign in the late 80s.
Yeah, and bring the frogs back.
Bring them all back.
Bring them crazy guys. What's up?
Yeah, those guys are great, man. Yeah, I was like, man. Hey, Smokey, what are you doing? Pick up the phone. Yeah, they were great. It was so simple but funny. So what you doing? Nothing, just sitting here drinking a Bud. I loved it. Good stuff.
Yeah. So I am getting excited. I am a Yellowstone fan and watcher.
Heck yeah, great series, all of them. Yeah, all of them.
I watched it when it first started. I got out of the loop on things and I had to start all over again. And, during the last few years, I started watching back-to-back episodes and somewhat binge watching and catching myself up. And I watched every single one of them, and including the 1883s and 1923s.
The spinoffs, yep.
And I am completely caught up and I love the shows. I love the whole just everything in the plot.
It's a cool show. I mean, it is very deep. I mean, and it's not this action packed show. It's a drama.
Yeah.
You know, it's a soap opera. It is, but a well done soap opera.
Yeah. And the content is kind of, it could be for anybody in the family. You know, it's not just a woman's type thing because it's got romance in it, but it's got men's stuff around horses or they got trucks.
Well, that's why I call it a modern day cowboy show. And don't get me wrong, listeners, when I say a cowboy show, it's not like that you know, it's back in the Wild West days. No, it takes place in modern times, but the way the characters conduct themselves on all the levels, it feels like a cowboy show. And what I mean by
Wild Wild West.
Well, yeah. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the Dutton family, which the show is about, they take care of things themselves, right? Like you're going to the train, you're going to the train yard or the train station, right? Right. Without telling you what happens at the train station, you're going to the train station, and that's not a good thing.
What happens at the train station stays at the train station.
Of course. So what's
happening is, you know, Kevin Costner's gone through his divorce lately.
Yeah.
And he's getting a little older. He's up there in age and, The series has been somewhat canceled, the Yellowstone series.
Well, he's supposed to finish it off with this upcoming season. This will be his last with Yellowstone.
And this is it.
Yeah, this is it for his character.
So he's looking to the future and he's like, I got to get started on something. Of course, he's had a lot of, expenses with this divorce that he's going through.
Yeah, I heard she's taking him to the cleaners. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm for it or against it or anything, but, you know, it's usually a half kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, who knows what kind of irreconcilable differences they're having. Either here or there, neither here or there, he has decided that he has a passion project that he wants to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a passion project in your life, Chewy?
I'm kind of doing it right now.
I know.
I like doing this because I used to do this and then you came up with the idea. Hey, man, we ought to do a podcast. And I was like, you know what? That sounds like a good idea, especially the interaction. Because before all 280 shows, whatever I did before, it was solo. Only one time did I have a guest on the show. Yeah. Only once.
Well, you have to have patience when you have interaction between both of us. And we have to have content that we can both understand and talk about.
Yeah.
And well, agree that, on sometimes.
And that's why it's all over the road.
That's why we're over the road. Yes, sir. So this passion project is a 4-part epic. It's coming up.
Okay.
And it's going to be called The Horizon.
The Horizon. So what is this show about?
It's an American saga about the, takes place during the expansion of the American West, both before and after the Civil War.
Oh, so he's kind of doing another cowboy show then.
Exactly. And
he's good for.
I love that time period before and after.
I love old westerns, man.
And I just like before and after the Civil War. I like the things that were happening in those years.
It was rebuilding, it was reconstruction, whatever they called it. I mean, and then that the show 1883 dealt with a lot of that, though that was almost 20 years after the Civil War. It was still the Great West expansion. And that was purely that truly was a cowboy show.
And so much went on in history during a 20 to 50 year time period.
Oh, yeah. So much squeezed in. Yes, right.
So much happening at once there.
So the show's going to be dealing with that era. And what is his character going to be up to? What is the premise?
Well, not only has he written, he's going to direct, he's going to produce. He's also coming out of pocket of $20 million.
Wow. Okay.
And it's slated to be scheduled. They're filming somewhat around now or what have you. Late summer 2024 release date of the first saga part.
So it's a TV series?
TV, yeah, it's a series.
Okay, but done on a grand scale where it almost feels like a movie.
It's a 4-part series.
Right, a mini series or whatever. Okay, and it's called Horizon.
Yes, and Costner actually mortgaged 10 acres of his $50 million oceanfront property in Santa Monica,
mm-hmm.
To fund this passion project.
Nice area.
Yeah.
Rich area.
Yeah. So he's got $50 million mortgaged. He said, look, I was going to build my last home I was going to live in, but quote, what the F, I'm just going to, do my passion project. That's the most important thing in my life right now.
Well, since he's leaving Yellowstone and, you know, he's already obviously moved on by doing this new show. So yeah, no, good for him.
And he
terrific actor too. I really like him.
Before he Costner has put up money before.
He did for Open Range.
Yeah, and
he put out his own money for Open Range
and the Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
He was the producer. That was his first movie. He was executive producer for, as well as director.
Oh, and yeah. And people don't know this. The executive producer's job is to find the money.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what you are. The owner of the show.
Yeah. Well, you're the bank. Yes. You're the bank of the show.
You pay everybody. You pay the cameraman, the actor.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The payroll.
Payroll.
Yep.
Yeah. Location.
Well, it sounds neat. And that's right up his alley. Cause he already does, you know, TV shows and movies based all on his other stuff in his past. He's always done that really, really well.
He's found his niche, and I'm looking forward to seeing another great series about the United States, America being formed.
Yeah. And the other thing is related to this with the Yellowstone, at least the rumors are out there that the show will continue on. It's supposed to, if you've kind of seen the last season, they're shifting to the 4-6s in Texas. Yes. And that's supposed to be the rumor. And I think it's actually going to be called Yellowstone, the 4-6s. So,
yes.
Because some of the cast are transitioning over to Texas. And Taylor Sheridan, who's the writer of the show, and he's starred in a couple times as that horse owner, he is actually a part owner of the 4-6s. So yes, it's even,
he does.
So it's in a way a little even more realistic that, you know, this is going to be part of the show, the shift, you know, to down there, and the show will continue. It probably won't have a lot of the characters we like. We're not sure yet.
I heard that Matthew McConaughey has a part.
Yeah, and I heard the show is going to have to be revolved a lot around Jimmy, because Jimmy did, as a character, grow the most. Because at the beginning, man, I thought he was just trailer trash, white trash, sissy, and he was.
Yes, but they developed him. Cole.
Cole Hauser. Yeah, his character. Yeah, Rip pushed him along, but pushed him along into the positive, and where
so
he
did
became
the other character, the old
Lloyd. Yeah. Jimmy did become a cowboy, a legitimate cowboy.
Yes.
You know, and I like the underdog story. I'm like, yeah, for Jimmy. Cause at first, man, I didn't think much about him. I'm like, man, this guy's such a wuss.
Yeah. What a joke. But then he developed confidence, and he got confidence out on the range,
got
as well as
got some girls,
got some good looking girls.
He did. He kind of switched between a couple of the girlfriends there. I'm like, oh man.
And he rode the rodeo too.
Yeah, he did the rodeo. Really good. So I'm looking forward to that. So is there anything else with the Kevin Costner?
No. So yeah, that's it for that. I'm looking forward to that. Today, before I came over here today, my wife says, hey, I need you to go pick up your daughter. She's over at my stepdaughter's place, visiting, because we just had a new grandchild.
Yeah, congratulations there, Grandpa. Yes. Hard to believe. You don't look like a grandpa. But you are.
So, you know, I was doing some last-minute show prep, and I was like, okay, I got to take, you know, so my son, he's wanting to put some time in driving his F-150 pickup truck.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's of age now. He should learn how to drive.
Yeah, and he's taking driver's ed, so I told him, okay, son, you know, check the fluids, pre-trip the truck. You know, I'm trying to teach him about pre-tripping. You know, you just don't want to jump in a vehicle, especially an older vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. Just to, you know, check the oil, the water, look at the tires. The
fundamentals.
The safety things. Yeah, make sure. A lot of people just get in their cars and go.
Yeah.
You know, they don't check nothing. Then they get halfway down the road. Oh, my.
It's funny you mentioned that, even because when I came back from the trip, it was dark. I turned on my flashlights and just walked around the Mustang, make sure the tires were still good, you know, make sure there wasn't no major damage or anything in case I had to put in a claim. Some asshole hit me or something like that. And, you know, and I don't blame the person for leaving. It's just like, well, I just hit a car in the parking lot. I don't know who this is.
Who is it? Yeah.
Right. And they probably just left.
Right.
You know, so, you know, they got out of that. But yeah, no, the just the basics like that. It's good to check that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I've been teaching him that as well. And then he went down, you know, the road. I went down some country roads, back roads, and of course the trucks, you know, pretty big truck. So,
oh yeah, that's a big truck you got in there.
So I'm holding on, you know, just, you know, hope he does good. Stay on the road, son. You got to keep
You're doing driver's ed with him.
Yeah, I was doing driver's ed. So I was,
well, it's a good thing you do that because, crazy enough, you know, the kids in driver's ed, they don't go out on the streets anymore. They just drive around the parking lot at school, which how are you supposed to learn that way? I mean, I get the risk, but it's like, in driver's ed, that's kind of it. And it was different from being with your old man, you know, because your old man or your mom would, you know, teach you how to drive as well. But it was also good to have a teacher's perspective on teaching you some of the basics. And there's no better way to get out on the road. And now they don't let them do that.
See, that's ridiculous. I think that
it is ridiculous.
It's better to have on hands or live
hands on.
Hands on, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
You just had it backwards. That's
I'm
all.
Such a hillbilly.
That's okay. Anyway, I know what you meant.
I know. You know my lingo. So, anyways, the hands on experience of an instructor of
driving out on the road.
An instructor's with you. He could say, "Hey, you forgot your turn signal on." Mm-hmm. Because when you're in the driving test, they're going to see that. The tests.
Remember, all those cars were equipped with the brake in the front passenger seat,
and they would hit it sometimes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, no, I never had it hit on me, but it was, you know, yeah, it was a couple times. I can tell that the teacher was nervous.
Well, he was. I was looking over one time when I was driving. He was soft pedaling it, like slowing me down because the speed limit was creeping up there 50, and he was getting nervous. I was going to go over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get going 60, and we lose control and have an accident. You know, that teacher is going to be like,
yeah, well, no wonder these kids are more nervous about driving these days because they're not getting the education that they're supposed to be getting that you and I got.
And why aren't these teachers allowed to take the students out there?
It's all liability and insurance now, man. They're like, we're not covering it.
And why not? Because we're paying for this, you know?
I get it, man.
And I think that it would be, maybe there would be less accidents and less problems out there, less people driving crazy if this younger generation of kids was actually had some more extensive on the road training.
And that's why, like, the whole common sense thing gets thrown out the window because they don't teach them the common sense that you and I were taught in school. So yeah, there's all these different programs now for this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, I'm sorry, man, these kids are coming out. They don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to change the oil in the car. They don't know how to change a windshield wiper. And luckily, there's been some YouTube videos of high school coaches with their football team. Hey boys, Like our old guy or like our fathers did to us. Let me show you something, you know, and they interview the students afterwards and they're super grateful. They're like, we've never been taught this before. And I was like, that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I come across these characters at work for me sometimes that they never seen a box wrench before, you know,
or you told me one time they didn't even know how to use a ratchet.
No. No experience using it.
It just blows my mind, man.
Craftsman ratchet, you know?
I mean, I am no grease monkey, but geez, I've got a, like any man who owns a home, who messes with cars here and there, I've got a good set of tools just in case I need to do something. You know, I'm blown away by that, man.
Yeah, and I guess it's just because you're right, and I wasn't aware. I guess I'm just oblivious to some of this stuff that the schools has actually, I mean, I guess when I hear that, oh, school has changed, I guess it really has changed.
Oh, and like I said, they can't drive out on the road anymore. Because it's the whole liability.
I was like, what's going on here? He goes, we need to have 10 hours on the road, Dad. So, you know, we spent.
They're putting that back on you, which isn't a bad thing.
No.
It's not a bad thing.
Because I'm teaching them the right way that I know.
Mm-hmm.
My experience in travels, you know, I was a professional truck driver. I still drive dump trucks and heavy trucks and equipment.
Yeah.
So I've made it this many years in my life. Obviously, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so I'm teaching him the safe way. I'm teaching him how to have common courtesy on the road as well, because a lot of people don't. They just pull out in front of you and I'm trying to teach him.
Well, you teach him defensive driving, which is very important, because being an offensive driver gets you in trouble.
Exactly.
There are a lot of impatient people out there. I know. I don't physically become impatient when I'm driving, but mentally or verbally, I get impatient. Like, especially when I'm driving by myself, I'll pop something off, not like cussing or nothing, just like, you know, like you'll get behind somebody in a 45 mile an hour speed limit and they're going 30. So to humor myself, I was like, oh, I'm behind another Sunday driver here, you know, no cares in the world, you know, let me go 15 miles under the speed limit because that's what I want to do. But God forbid you look in your rearview mirror and see like 15 cars behind you because they can't pass you, but they're just oblivious to that, yes, you know. Yeah. Or when you're trying to scoot through a light, it's like, hey, move up a little bit. Let me, you know, come on, help me out here. But they're just, I'm the only one on the road.
Yeah, Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, Mr. Magoo. Well, I guess this kind of became our unofficial after show, but we don't have an after show for you guys these days. But
the moral of the story was that we spent about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours driving around.
Good.
And he did okay. He needs some more time out there. And my daughter, she actually went on a trip with my stepdaughter's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And they drove around in his little red car, unbeknownst to me. So when I came home... Or when I came to their home, they were pulling up. And I said, oh, you guys are practicing today, too, as well.
Oh, it's just a practice day for the family driving.
Yeah,
huh?
And that car was a 5-speed standard, so she got the...
Nice!
She wants a car with a standard transmission.
Yeah, that's why she kept lobbying to get my car.
Yeah, she wants to buy that car, of course.
Yeah. Her not working where she works, but...
She'll have to save for a while.
You got to earn it. I mean, that car didn't come to me until I was in my 40s, so, you know, it took me a while to get that. I was thinking about that the other day. I was driving around on my Mustang, and I was like, you know how badass it would have been to have this car when I was in high school? But... It just wasn't in the cards at the time, but hey, I've got it now.
You would have been very popular, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't give anyone early rides in that thing. That's the whole point of that car. Like, one person can sit in the back sideways, but to put four people in that car, no freaking way.
In high school, though, there were a lot of skinny people, so.
Yeah, well, we're still a big guy, but, you know. But
I got two kids learning how to drive, so good. That's what's going on in my world.
Well, good. Well, that'll go ahead and get us to the end of the show here, and just to put out a reminder of all our comms here, send us an email at acabonaradio@gmail.com. You can download the show at www.acabonaradio.com. We are on Facebook or Facebook. Facebook is how Pirate says it, Facebook. We are on X or Twitter. I still don't know what to call it, because even though it says X, it still says Twitter.com. Just look for any of those announcements out there. And of course, if you want to be on our email, set our email list, I started an email list. Send us an email at acabonaradio@gmail.com. Let me know what your email it is, and I'll put you in the release when it comes out. So the song of the week is going to be Metallica, called I Am Evil. Am I Evil? Not I Am Evil. Am I Evil? It's kind of goes with what's going on right now, because you have a lot of people in this world who think they're doing the right thing, but are they really doing the wrong thing with all this conflict breaking out in Israel, with Ukraine, heck, our own country, with all this crime? You know, like the story you told me, a guy asking for change. It ain't a big deal to ask for change, but what's a kid doing asking for change these days?
Exactly.
You know, where are your parents? But that's the other question. Where are the parents? That's the biggest thing there. But yeah, really good show. It comes off their 1998 CD or album called Garage Inc. And it's actually on disc 2, which I thought that was pretty cool. But I heard the song the other day, and I was like, this would be a good song for the podcast here.
And I can't wait to hear it. And Chewy.
Well, let's wrap this show up, man.
Wrap it up, man. It's been a great show. I'm glad we're back on the air. We're getting close to show number 9, and you know what happens when we get to 10.
Yeah, I think that's going to be our impromptu show.
Yeah, that's open mic.
No script at all.
Open mic.
Well, even what we just talked about with the car was actually open mic. We didn't script that at all. But we want to thank you for downloading, listening to the show, and we will be talking to you soon.
And you all enjoy and live life to the fullest.
Take care. We'll be right back.